At first glance, Circle Mirror Transformation appears to be a lighthearted look at a drama class in a community center in Vermont. But by the end, the play turns out to be about a lot more and quite moving, which led Christopher Isherwood to write in the New York Times that he, quote, emerged with the same giddy sense of discovery, the same almost proprietary need to ensure that this small, quirky, immensely lovable new play does not go unnoticed by theatergoers. Its run has been extended any number of times, now for the fourth time through January 31st, and I'm very pleased that we were able to arrange for its playwright, Annie Baker, to come by today. And she's joined by the wonderful Deirdre O'Connell, who stars as Marty, and Tracy Chimo, who plays Lauren. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Do you all agree that this is a difficult play to describe?
Yes.
So, Annie, you wrote it. How would you describe it?
Well, it's sort of a terrible idea, I think. It's like a play about an acting class in Vermont and five people who don't know each other, who come to know each other over the course of 6 weeks, which is just a really cheesy idea.
So. Why do you think that's a cheesy idea? You know, all the actors in the audience seemed to think it was a very good idea. They were laughing at all the stuff that was going on.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there was something I loved about it, and I didn't know exactly what it was, but I felt this inexplicable urge to write about these people in this class. And the whole time had to sort of fight myself about the fact that the idea seemed sort of like a bad one. But
and now people have told you it wasn't a bad one.
Yeah, I guess
it's
so.
A really good one.
It is a hard play to describe, though. Yeah.
Deirdre, you play Marty, who's a kind of a hippie Mother Earth instructor, leading this motley crew through exercises as though you were making them up as you go along. What was the purpose of her starting the class, as you understand it?
I think she feels a couple of things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's not like written down in the play that I think is why she's doing it. That gets revealed very slowly through it. But I think that she's at one of those points where she needs to shake things up. She needs to shake things up in her marriage. She needs to shake things up in her life. She's searching for meaning and deepening in her life. Her stepchild has been out of the house for a while. She's at that point where she wants to know people in a different way, and she wants to help people in a different way than she's been able to. There's some longing for connection that happens.
And she's bringing all the things she learned in her previous acting classes to this class?
Yes, her acting classes, her drama therapy classes, her, you know, various meetings with people. I think she's bringing together a potpourri of things that she's read about. She is, as you said, figuring this out as she goes along, but she's a person who's been teaching stuff for a while, so she has a kind of understanding of how to be in a how to lead a group, but she is figuring some of it up as she goes along.
But as I said, the night I was there, you could hear chuckles from the actors in the audience who obviously had done similar exercises. Have you done similar exercises in your acting classes, Tracy?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So what happens when the audience laughs that way? Are you aware of the audience's responses, or are you just so much into the part that you...
I am completely aware. I think, especially as Lauren, because I think that that character in particular is the audience to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much aware of audience reactions throughout the play.
The theater's very small too, so the actors can hear
everything. Everybody's everything,
And it's very fun to notice the difference between audiences that are filled with actors and audiences that are filled with people who maybe during over the Christmas season weren't even New Yorkers, and that it's a slower seduction that happens with that kind of audience. Mm-hmm. The second it starts and we're lying on the floor, actors will start laughing hysterically
because they've done this exercise.
And other people will
the
be
rest
like,
of us, yeah, what is that?
Why are they lying on the floor? What is this going to be? Yeah.
And Tracy's character serves as to some degree as the audience's surrogate. Like when you ask questions, many of us non-actors have been thinking, like, what's the point of counting to 10 while we're lying on the floor? I want to know how to become a good actress. Yeah. When are we going to act?
I mean, Lauren wants to be an actress. She's got a big audition coming up at her high school. Mm-hmm. She wants to be Maria in West Side Story. So, she's there to learn.
Annie, how much responsibility does an acting teacher have towards his or her students? Is it possible for a teacher to wreak emotional damage, as we see in this class?
Well, I'm not an experienced actor. I took one sort of disastrous acting class when I was 9 at my local public library in Amherst, Massachusetts. And we had a very intense Marty-like acting teacher who would, I can't believe this, we were 9, but she would sometimes get so angry at us that she would storm out of the building, and we'd all sort of wait terrified on stage for her to come back. And she totally wreaked emotional havoc on us. So I definitely think it's possible. But one thing I'm interested in the play is sort of how Marty can simultaneously wreak emotional havoc on her students and also help them grow, and at the same time, and that was interesting.
Well, part of acting exercises is getting people to open up.
Exactly.
And sometimes when you open up, you reveal things that you might not want to reveal. So this is kind of like psychotherapy at the same time.
Exactly. And she wants them to stop being self-conscious, which is a very difficult thing to ask of people, but it's also sort of a beautiful thing. So
this is also an ensemble work with each character being fully rounded. Did it take a while for the actors to develop that ensemble feeling?
I think we were blessed that this group of people has been together for most of the workshops of the play, mm-hmm. and I think Sam saw very quickly where how to build the ensemble. So we were pretty lucky. We pretty fast fell in love. Respected each other and understood how to be inside of each other's rhythms and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty special. It was not difficult.
Awkward.
Yeah.
The director...
The director's name is Sam. Sam Gold.
And he did this very scary, wonderful thing. In rehearsal, he had us all play the games for real. And I think at first, we all had sort of a sneering attitude towards me included. And he had us play the games for real. And some of the results were so moving... I cried one day when one of our actors, Reed Burney, retold your life story,
Tracy.
And it's such a cheesy exercise, but it was so moving. And we all had to sort of become foolish in the room before we portrayed these people who were also acting in a foolish way. So.
And how did you even, since you took one acting class when you were 9 years old, Annie, did you go and research this when you decided to write the play?
I did a lot of research. Yeah, before I write a play, I usually research for about 10 months. So I read so many strange drama therapy books that were written in the early 80s. And I'm dating an actor, and I'm friends with a lot of actors. So, and
they reveal stuff to you.
They reveal stuff to you. And my mother is a therapist, so I was really interested in the group therapy aspect of the play, too.
It's an unusual play in that there's a lot of silence. Is the script much shorter than other plays with actors being expected to fill in those blanks?
Yeah, the script is about 90 pages, and the play is almost 2 hours. So, and usually it's a minute a page, so the silences do add about a half an hour to the play, I think. Yeah,
and that's something that you wrote into the play.
Yeah, I'm sort of crazy about it. I write pause, long silence, long pause. I have this whole little system. Yeah.
Well, what is it like for the actors? Does having so much time on stage when you're not talking put pressure on you? Because you still have to be engaged the whole time,
especially at first. We sort of had to learn it. We were so used to picking up the cues that to have Sam actually say that scene wasn't long enough was amazing for us. We're so not trained that way.
It was kind of awesome though. Yeah.
And then gradually, as we gained courage about it, now I can't imagine doing the play without all that stuff.
Tracy, your character in particular could be seen as a challenge. You play a very introspective 16-year-old who seems to be hiding in her hoodie, and you have to communicate a lot without saying anything.
Yeah, that's true. It's my favorite thing I've ever had to do, though, as an actress, honestly. I prefer not speaking. But I just...
Well, you get to say a lot of stuff.
I get to say some stuff. Yeah, no, I just... I love that she's so behavioral. You get to just know her by watching very tiny things that she's doing.
Well, I'm assuming that it's because the play is written so well that
it's
we
written so well.
Know all of these people really well. At the end, we have to know them well to... I don't want to reveal what happens in the play, but we have to know them very well to understand how the play ends. And that's because each of these characters has become a real person to us. And I'm assuming that's all in the writing, and the actors really just read the lines and do the best they can.
Well, it was because we've been
working.
I was joking there. Okay, good. Thank God. But it has been a very long workshop process, and there
was
are
there improvisation.
There was improvisation. Yeah. There's actually one scene in the play that is still improvised that I did not write, and that's the actual scene where they play the game Circle Mirror Transformation. And every night the actors improv it, and it's my favorite part because I didn't write
it. So much fun.
So it doesn't remain pretty much the same every night because you. You know
no, we're
other.
Not allowed to
we're
do
not
it the same
every
night.
We're not allowed to do it the same every night.
We got a note the other day that we were getting into a pattern. No, we have to mix
Sammy
it up.
Sammy was like, change that up. Change it up.
You guys have gotten used to getting certain, you know, hitting certain things right with that one. So we have to change it up.
My guests are Deirdre O'Connell, the Obie-winning actress who plays Marty in Circle Mirror Transformation, Tracy Chimo, who plays Lauren, and Annie Baker is the writer of the play, which is at Playwrights Horizon at the Peter J. Sharp Theater at 416 West 42nd Street, with a run only through January 17th.
No, 31st.
31st, yeah. I'm
just
sorry.
Extended.
So when was the original end run supposed to end?
God, oh, Lord, October. I don't even remember. 17th or something?
It couldn't have been that because we started September 1st. So I think it was November 1st. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to close November 1st.
Yeah. And then the play has been so well received that you had to extend it?
Mm-hmm.
And then again?
And again?
Does that mean it can happen again?
I don't think so.
We can't
not
extend
at Playwrights.
It in that theater.
Yeah.
So it would have to move, and that's a very hard thing to do right now.
Yeah. So I think this is it.
Yeah. Oh, well, it can always be performed again somewhere else, can't it?
Everyone's trying for,
Annie, when you started, did you have a sense of who all these characters were when you started writing it?
That's sort of the only thing I had. Yeah, I had no idea what was going to happen in the play. I just had these five characters, and I had lots of notes about their life and about their relationships with each other. So I usually start with characters, and so I knew them very well, and one of the first things I wrote in the play was at the beginning of each week they deliver a monologue as another character. It's sort of part of the class. It's an acting exercise. And those were the first things I wrote. So I sort of knew their life stories. Yeah.
Although you tell us, you reveal an awful lot. We learn a lot about them. But you reveal it in a sideways fashion.
Yeah, that was very important to me. I hate exposition in plays. I hate when people are sort of sitting in a living room and saying, "Remember how 5 years ago we met and got married, and now we're
and
angry
now we have
at
two
our
children,
son, and
Bud,
now we have two children, and it's cold
Bud
outside,
and
yeah, and it's Christmas, you know." I sort of wanted to write a play where there was no exposition, or the exposition was an exercise. That was sort of the experiment, and it was really fun. It was really fun to try.
Well, as actors, Deirdre and Tracy, how long did it take you to get your characters? Or is that something that's still evolving?
It's still evolving.
Yeah.
It really is.
The
play has this sort of bottomless quality about it because I think the fact that Annie has sidestepped that exposition is such an important and remarkable thing. I think that we're so used to, as audience members, sort of allowing for behavior that wouldn't happen in real life all the time in plays and going, okay, but that's fine because I want to know that it's Christmas and I want to know that they've been married for 20 years. So it's okay that these poor actors have to say this and it's a little fake. When you don't have that, the contract changes. There's no room for faking anything.
Yeah.
So
but
the acting becomes
freeing.
Actually really rigorous
yeah.
because you're under this different kind of microscope. There's not a deal that you'll do some fake stuff to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we don't get to do any fake stuff to help the audience.
Yeah. There's an immense amount of freedom, though, in what Annie has written for us, you know, within the pauses and within the this almost sparseness of it without we're not beating anybody over the head with our characters, so there is lots of room to play.
It's actually the way you really do get to know people.
Yeah.
You know them
yeah.
really well, but even though you might not. Actually, I can't remember where they're from.
I don't know every detail about this person,
yeah.
but I'm falling in love with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we all unfold, you know, or people learn about us the way you peel an onion layer by layer, and there are certain things that you might not, that are really important that you may not discover until much later, and that's part of what you've done in this play. But how important was it for you to set it in Vermont rather than, let's say, an acting class in New York?
Yeah. Well, I have this imaginary town in Vermont in my head. Shirley, Vermont. And a bunch of my plays take place there. And I really need to start writing about a different town. But the problem is that I've thought about this town so much. I know about 500 of its residents. So it's always so tempting. So actually, you know, I'm going to sound like a psychopath, but, you know, a couple of people in Circle Mirror Transformation are related to a couple of people and, you know, second cousins of people in the other play, or Marty was married. Her first marriage was to someone in my it's very hard for me to not write a play that takes place in that town. I also love small towns, and I'm really interested in how the arts function in small towns. It's very different than in New York City.
Well, you are from Amherst,
yes.
But Amherst is a college town. It's a very different kind of town.
Yeah, Shirley is actually a college town too, but yes.
And when did you write your first play? Did it grow out of going to NYU's College of the Arts and Sciences?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote some really bad plays when I was a teenager. I'm still writing some really bad plays, but I guess I wrote my first
plays
full
rather
length.
Than screenplays or short stories.
Yeah, I used to write those too, and I still do. But I guess my first full length play I wrote my senior year of college. Yeah.
Deirdre, you've been in more productions than I can list, and you got an Obie?
Yes, a couple of years ago I got an Obie for Sustained Excellence of Performance. That's how you say it, right?
I wonder what does that mean?
Awesome.
It means that they forgot to give you one before.
It sort of does.
Uh-huh. It sort of means that you know,
you come up
in the meeting at the Obie committee, and they're like, "Wait a second, didn't she get an Obie for this or that?" And they go, "No, she didn't." Well, wait a second.
Well, we're going to give her one now.
Yeah, it sort of happens like that. But it's really nice when it happens.
Chasey, you were just on Broadway with Tova Feltsch in Irina's Vow,
mm-hmm.
a very different kind of play.
Yes, very different.
And you'd been in the off-Broadway production, and then it transferred. That must have been great as well.
Oh, it was amazing.
Just honored by Marion Seldes and the O'Neill Studio?
Yes, yeah. I won the O'Neill Award for making my Broadway debut with Irina's Vow. It was pretty neat.
We have very little time left, but Annie, as we were leaving the theater, the audience was given an interview that you did in which you said you don't like talking about your work. In fact, you conducted the interview by email. I really appreciate that you were willing to come to our studio and talk
with
me
today.
Thank
you. My heart is beating very, very
Are you really
fast.
Nervous?
I am. I'm so nervous. I just hate talking. If I could, I would communicate by writing on little index cards and showing them to everybody.
Well, write down when your play, The Aliens, will be opening.
Yes, it's opening in April.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
is that similar people, related people?
It's in the same town. But it's about three young men. I sort of was interested in writing a dude play. So this is my all male cast.
Well, thank you both. Thank you all for being with us. Annie Baker, the playwright, Circle Mirror Transformation at Playwrights Horizons, Peter J. Sharp Theater at 416 West 42nd Street. There's ticket information on our show page at wnyc.org. Also, actresses Deirdre O'Connell and Tracy Chimlo.